Hello, this is Matt.
Hey, Matt. Greg Corumbus. How are you?
Good, Greg. How's it going?
Excellent. Thanks so much for your time today.
You bet.
We will keep you here for about 6 or 7 minutes and roll here in 3, 2, and 1. This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Matt Barber, Director of Cultural Affairs at the Liberty Council, which is a group protecting religious liberties around the country. He's also very involved in the debate surrounding the Supreme Court nomination of Elena Kagan. And one of the questions that's been circulating, as well as some of her legal opinions, is whether or not she is actually a lesbian. And while some say that could affect some decisions on the court, Mr. Barber says, in addition to that, just the fact that she is a lesbian is also a matter of concern. And Matt, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, what you hear in a lot of circles and a lot of explanation about this or discussing her sexual orientation is, well, she may be, but that in and of itself shouldn't be an issue. Why do you say it should be?
Well, it's interesting to me to see the hypocrisy displayed by those on the left who will single out and target any conservative or Republican politico who has a questionable sexual orientation, who may or may not be involved in the homosexual lifestyle. But boy, when they think it might be a negative in terms of public opinion on one of their own, they ignore this very pertinent question. And it is pertinent for a number of reasons. First of all, the majority of Americans, I think, still view sexual morality as an important qualification in consideration for a person who will be serving in a position of public service, especially a lifetime appointment to the highest court in the land. Now, when a potential new Supreme Court justice is being considered and vetted, when the Senate is vetting them, when the media is vetting them, they look all the way back to their kindergarten. They try to find out everything about these individuals, their wives, their spouses. And in this case, for instance, if Elena Kagan is involved in the homosexual lifestyle, they need to know if she has a partner. Who is her partner? What is her beliefs and positions does this and her partner have on certain issues? So there are a number of concerns, but primarily, I think the main concern is that if a person is involved in the homosexual lifestyle, clearly, as a Supreme Court justice, issues relative to the Defense of Marriage Act, to Don't Ask, Don't Tell, to hate crimes legislation, ENDA, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, these are all issues that a Supreme Court justice will very likely in the near future be looking at in terms of constitutionality. And if a person is involved in the homosexual lifestyle, there is a clear conflict of interest there. It would be no different than having a compulsive gambler sitting over cases involving gambling, or a medical marijuana user having cases come across the desk that involve the legalization of medical marijuana. So there would clearly be a conflict of interest if, in fact, Elena Kagan is involved in the lesbian lifestyle.
A couple of follow-ups here, Matt. First of all, you would probably have some who would counter that by suggesting that any Supreme Court justice is going to have certain aspects of their personal life that could potentially in some way come before the court. You have people who attend church, so church and state issue could come up at some point. So how do you draw the line there?
Well, I've had a number of people say, for instance, Clarence Thomas, because he's an African American male, by my logic, he should not, he should recuse himself from cases involving race or gender. That's an apples to oranges comparison. When you consider race, for instance, is an immutable, unchangeable, neutral quality, neutral characteristic, whereas homosexuality, these are individuals who define themselves based on feelings and based on behaviors. It's behaviorally oriented. So it is an apples to oranges comparison. It's a specious comparison. There, again, as my friends at, for instance, Focus on the Family have said, if a justice was involved in the homosexual lifestyle, that would be a non-starter, to quote, Focus on the Family, because of that a character issue. And for billions around the world, homosexuality is still considered sexual immorality. So you can't compare, for instance, a judge's faith. We have a number of Catholics on the court, for instance. That is not an issue of morality, a person's faith. However, we would not have, I think there would be an outcry if we had a known swinger, a person engaged in an open adulterous lifestyle on the court. That's a better comparison. To compare a swinging lifestyle to a homosexual lifestyle is an accurate comparison to compare one's Catholicism to the homosexual lifestyle is an inaccurate comparison.
We're talking with Matt Barber of Liberty Council. And Matt, you mentioned some of the issues that you hope senators on the Judiciary Committee bring up in the confirmation hearings, which will begin at the end of next month. But given what we've heard from some members, that they don't anticipate at this point any sort of filibuster effort and that she's probably going to get confirmed, how likely is it that we will actually see some of these discussions?
I think it's a shame to see that so many Republicans and conservatives of late have apparently undergone a spineoctomy. They have had their spines removed. Elena Kagan, as Newt Gingrich has said, she should be disqualified from the very beginning, any sexual orientation, so-called, aside. She engaged in despicable discriminatory activity while dean of the Harvard Law School by kicking in the solar plexus our brave men and women of the military, banning military recruiters from the campus. That is an overt act of radical pro-homosexual activism, and the United States Supreme Court slapped her down by an 8-0 decision upholding the Solomon Amendment, which would have allowed the Department of Defense to withhold federal funding to Harvard for that discriminatory behavior. So she was forced to reverse course. So on the issue of don't ask, don't tell, for instance, is there any question, with Elena Kagan already on record as having said that don't ask, don't tell is a profound wrong and a moral injustice of the first order, is there any question as to how she would rule on an issue, don't ask, don't tell, that the courts have already said is perfectly constitutional and has merit solid reasoning behind it? I think there's no question whatsoever.
Matt, unfortunately, our time is up. As always, sir, great to have you with us. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Matt Barber is Director of Cultural Affairs at Liberty Council. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Excellent, sir. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Greg.
Have a great weekend, Matt.
You too now. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.